Gospel of John, chapter 11. The verse I'd like us to consider this morning is at verse 39. We're dealing with the raising of Lazarus from the dead. But our subject this morning is 4 days late. 4 days late. At least that's how Martha saw it. That the Lord had arrived 4 days late at the tomb of Lazarus. And here we read in verse 39, Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone." Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, "Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days." Over the past couple of weeks, in our series, The Master and His Miracles, we have stood with Christ at the side of a deathbed. And then we joined him, as it were, as he halted a funeral procession, as a young man was being taken to the place of his burial. A bed, a coffin. And now we find the Lord at a graveside, not to witness a burial, but rather a resurrection. For as the Savior raised a 12-year-old girl from her deathbed, and he raised a young man up out of a coffin, so we find here in this portion of Scripture a record of how the Lord conquered death again. Only this time, he raised a man from the grave. A man who had been in the grave now for 4 days. Lazarus' death had been preceded, we know, by a time of sickness. As we read there in verse 3, "Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick." They had told the Lord about the sickness of his brother, of their brother. And then we read in verse 6, "When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was." And so the Lord did not rush away to the sick bed of Lazarus. Instead, we are told, he remained where he was for a further 2 days. And then we read in the verse 11, "These things said he, and after that, he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." And so the Lord waited 2 days. And then the Lord told the disciples that Lazarus sleepeth or was dead. And from Bethany to, or from Jerusalem to Bethany, is a 2 days journey. That makes up the 4 days. Because we know the Jews bury their dead the same day. And so the Lord waited 2 days, and then Lazarus died. And then it was a 2 days journey from Jerusalem to Bethany. And that's when he arrives at the grave. And why Martha said, "But he has been dead 4 days." We're told that the Lord said to the disciples, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep." Now we know that for a Christian, death is but asleep. Matthew 27 and verse 52, "And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept." Many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Many bodies of the saints that were dead arose, or many bodies slept. And that's how the death of Stephen, the first Christian martyr, is described, Acts 7 and verse 60. "And when he had said this, he fell asleep." That is Stephen. Fell, or he gave up the ghost, or he died. And so sickness had overtaken Lazarus, and he had fallen asleep in Christ. And now he had been in the grave for 4 days. Between the town of Mary and Martha and Jerusalem, as we've said, is a 2 days journey. So the Lord waited 2 days, Lazarus died, and then the 2 days journey to the grave. Make up the 4 days. And the Savior made his way there, and Martha made her way to meet the Lord. If you look there in verse 20, "Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house." So Martha went to meet the Lord as he made his way to Bethany and to the graveside. But we're told that Mary sat still in the house. Now, after Martha's interview with the Savior, Martha then went back home and told Mary, and said to Mary, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." Verse 28. "The Master is come and calleth for thee." And I want to look now at the events which took place after Mary came to the Lord, and what was said to her, and what she said to the Lord. Let us consider this morning, first of all, the Master and his place. The Master and his place. We are specifically told where the Savior was when Mary came to him. Verse 30. "Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him." And so there you find that Martha met the Lord as he made his way to Bethany. And Martha met the Lord, had an interview with him, then went and told Mary that the Lord had come. But what do we find here? We find that the Lord did not leave that place where he had met Martha. And we are told that that's where Mary met the Lord. In other words, what do we have here? We have, first of all, the waiting Christ. The Lord had spoken with Martha, and the Lord had remained there until Mary came. There's the waiting Christ. The Lord waited for Mary to come to him. There's the waiting Christ. Here we are told about the Savior patiently waiting for Mary to come to him. Remember that he had already called her to come to him. In verse 28, Martha's message, "The Master has come and calleth for thee." There were many there. There were many Jews around her and in the house, but the Lord called for her. The Master has come and calleth for thee. The Lord waited for Mary to receive her grief. That's why he waited. Was that not why she had sat still in the house? She was so grief-stricken. Even though she had plenty of company, because many Jews were there in the house, mourning with her. But she sat still in the house. And even after her brother had been in the grave 4 days, she was still overcome with grief. And the tears still flowed. But the Lord waited for Mary to come to him that he might receive her grief, that he might hear what she had to say. But we know that no one can bring comfort to a bereaved and grief-stricken soul. No one but Christ. We are told that the Lord waited for Mary to come to him, that he might hear her words of grief, and that he might bring her comfort at that time. When Mary came, she came weeping. And no one can wipe away all tears from the eyes of his stricken people. No one like Christ. Turn, please, to chapter 20. John chapter 20. Now we read in verse 12. Mary, or verse 11, Mary stood without at the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept and stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, that's Mary Magdalene, of course, and she seeth two angels in white sitting, the one on the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have led him. And when she had thus said, she turned back herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? And you can read on down that chapter, and you'll discover that the angels who were at the sepulchre said to Mary, Why weepest thou? The angels couldn't dry her tears, because the next person that Mary Magdalene met was the Lord himself. And the Lord said, Why weepest thou? Even though she had spoken to angels, the angels couldn't dry her tears, because she was still weeping when the Lord appeared unto her. And the Lord said to her, Why weepest thou? And after she saw the Lord, there's no more weeping. She's not weeping anymore. Verse 16, Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. And the Lord then told the disciples, told Mary to go and tell the disciples that the Savior was risen. There's only one person can wipe away tears from her eye, and that's Christ. As he did for Mary Magdalene, and as he did for Mary, the sister of Lazarus. That's why the Savior waited, because the Savior knew what Mary needed. She needed comfort, and she needed someone to wipe away her tears. He waited. the one could do it. He waited to receive her grief. He waited that she might receive his grace. Isn't that what Mary needed? Needed grace. What Mary needed most at that time was comfort and grace. Grace to help her in her time of sorrow. Of course, we know that Christ is full of grace and truth. And Christ was the one that Mary needed to see at that time. That's why he waited. What do we read in Isaiah 30 and verse 18? And therefore will the Lord wait. Therefore will the Lord wait. Why will he wait? Therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious. And therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. That's why the Lord waited. He waited for Mary to come to him, that he may receive her grief, and that she may receive his grace. He waited to be gracious unto Mary. That's why the Savior waited. And as the Lord waited, Mary experienced the Savior's grace and the Savior's mercy. And he dried her eyes from her tears. Only Christ can do that. Not only do we see here the waiting Christ, but also the worshipped Christ. When Mary came to where the Savior was waiting for her, we're told in verse 32, when she saw him, she fell down at his feet. In other words, Mary simply did what others had done when they came to the Lord. If you go back into Mark's Gospel, and there in Mark chapter 5, read in Mark 5 and verse 6, and when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. That was legion. Ran and worshipped him. You see him chapter in verse 22. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet. When he saw him, it was the view of Christ that brought Jairus and legion to their knees to fall down at the feet of Christ. Mark 7 and verse 25. And there we read, verse 25, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Each one of them, when they looked upon the Savior, they fell down at his feet. You recall John on the Isle of Patmos. You recall he heard that voice behind him like the sound of a trumpet, and he turned to see the voice that spake with him. And he saw Christ in all his glory and wonder and beauty. And then we read in Revelation 1, verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. Will that not be our reaction when we see him? When we see our Savior face to face, surely we also will be so overwhelmed by the sight of him, by his beauty, his glory, his majesty, And there'll only be one place for us, and that'll be down at his feet. And we shall worship him. Especially when we see those nail prints in his hands and in his feet. That's where we shall be. We'll fall down at his feet to worship him. Indeed, for Mary, the feet of Christ was a place that Mary had often been. In Luke chapter 10, the Lord entered the house of Mary and Martha. And you recall how Martha was serving and Mary was serving. Then Mary left Martha and went. And we are told in verse 39, Luke 10:39, that she sat at the feet of Christ hearing his word. And the Lord said that she had chosen that better part. There was Mary at the feet of Christ to hear his word. Here in John 11, we have Mary at his feet again in her time of weeping. And then whenever you go over to the chapter 12 of John, we find Mary at the feet of Christ again. For we read there in verse 2 of John 12, and they made him a supper, and Martha served. You must commend Martha for that. Martha had been gently rebuked and corrected by the Lord when she had come to the Lord and complained. Master, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? And the Lord said to Martha, 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 thou art cumbered about much serving. The Lord had to gently rebuke and correct Martha. But Mary, your sister, she has chosen the better part. Martha could have taken umbrage at what the Lord said. Martha could have said, all right, I'm not going to do any more serving. But she didn't. Because we find when the Lord entered the house again, Martha's still serving. She delighted to serve the Master. And here in chapter 12, in verse 2, and they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus. There she is. She's back at the feet of Christ. Three times we read about Mary being at the feet of Christ. One, to hear his word. Two, the time of weeping. Three, in her time of worship, when she anointed the feet of the Savior. She was regularly at the feet of Christ. It's interesting to note the difference in Martha and Mary. When Martha went out to meet the Lord, there were no tears in Martha's eyes. Neither did Martha fall down at the feet of Christ. But whenever Mary met the Lord, she was in tears. And Mary was the one of the two sisters. He fell down at the feet of the Savior. And you notice something else? They both said the same thing when they saw the Lord. in John 11 and verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Both said the same thing. As far as they were concerned, he was 4 days late. He was too late. As far as they were concerned, if the Lord had have come sooner, then Lazarus would not have died. We have the waiting Christ and the worship Christ. That is to consider the wonderful Christ. Wonderful. I say that the Lord was the wonderful Christ because of the way he responded to what Mary had just said. Mary said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. You look at those words and look them over and over. Lord, if thou hadst been here, then my brother had not died. In other words, Mary was blaming the Lord for being late. She was really blaming the Lord for the death of her brother Lazarus. Martha said the same thing. Lord, if thou hadst been here, then my brother would not have died. Those are rather cruel words, are they not? Really, by inference, she was blaming the Lord for the death of Lazarus, her brother. He was 4 days late. Why didn't he come when he was told, he whom thou lovest is sick? And here's Mary and Martha as well said the same thing. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And you know something? The ungodly Jews said the same thing. If you look at verse 37, and some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? The two sisters said the same thing. What the ungodly Jews had said. See, they're all blaming the Lord for the death of Lazarus. Sometimes words are uttered and spoken in haste. When upon reflection the individual might say to himself, I wish I hadn't said that. And I'm sure Mary and Martha would reflect upon what they said after the Lord raised their brother from the dead. There was a reason for the Lord coming 4 days late, that he might be glorified. Greater glory will be brought to Christ and his heavenly Father through the raising of Lazarus from the grave than would have been given to him in simply healing Lazarus. But as I've said, things can be said in haste. Or maybe whenever the individual is under pressure. We made reference to Martha. When the Lord entered the home and Martha was serving And Mary left Martha to sit at the feet of Christ. And then Martha came and said, Master, do you not care? Carest thou not that my sister has left me alone to serve? Nobody likes to serve alone. Dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Imagine saying that. Imagine saying that to the Lord. Lord, dost thou not care? You recall the disciples in the ship on Galilee, and the storm broke upon them and the Savior was asleep. And those disciples believed with all of their hearts they were going to perish. Even though the Lord had said to the disciples, let us cross over onto the other side. The Lord said we're going to the other side. They'd make it to the other side. But they thought they were going to perish, and what did they do? They went and they awoke the Lord, and they said the same thing that Martha said. Master, carest thou not that we perish? They were under pressure. They were afraid. They uttered words that they would not have uttered under ordinary circumstances. And here is Mary. Here's Mary, heartbroken and weeping. And Mary says, Master, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. I want you to notice. The silence of the Lord. Carefully. Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Verse 32. My brother had not died. She blamed the Lord. You know, we should remember the words of the psalmist, Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Keep me from saying things that I would later regret. I have no doubt Martha and Mary regretted saying what they said. But they were under. And the point is this, that when Mary said that, what did the Lord do? Did he rebuke her? Did he start arguing with her? Did he try to defend himself? None of those things. For we read that when Mary said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. For next verse. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, he didn't say a word. You know how it is. If some of us are accused of something and we're accused in the wrong, or somebody charges with doing something that was not our fault, we're immediately ready to defend ourselves. Not so Christ. There you have his silence. He never said a word. Instead, we're told, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping. There's his silence. As Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 7, there's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. As far as the Lord was concerned, he knew this was a time to be silent. He remained silent even when such a hurtful thing had been said about him. I have no doubt that since the Lord knew all about Mary and knew about her pain, and knew all about her loss. And he understood when she said those words. He understood how she felt. He didn't say a word. He knew that she had only to wait. Then she would see why he was 4 days late. She only had to wait. But the Lord understood her state and understood her feelings. And that's why he said nothing. His silence. Not only do you have his silence, you also have his seeing. Look again. Mary said, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But the Lord was silent. He didn't respond, say anything to her. Instead, in verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping. We don't read anything about what he said, but we do read about what he saw. He saw her tears. He saw her weeping. That's what he saw. He may have acted as though he didn't hear those hurtful words, but he did see her weeping. And here once again, we see the tender-hearted Savior, the compassionate Savior. He didn't focus upon what Mary had said. He focused on the tears of Mary because he understood how she felt. He understood. Is it good to have someone who understands how we feel? And many times in our series on the Master and the Miracles, have we come across the Lord when he has seen someone in their affliction? He has seen their tears. The first thing that he looked at, first thing that caught his attention, was the tears of others. Luke 7, verse 13, Luke 8, verse 52, Luke 23 and 28. Even there, as we've already noted, at the sepulchre, when he saw Mary Magdalene, it's the first thing he said, Woman, why weepest thou? He immediately sees the tears of the sorrowing and the suffering. And instead of answering Mary, we just simply read, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping. That's why I made that point. He's a wonderful Savior. And so he is. A wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Savior to me. He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. No wonder Isaiah said, his name shall be called Wonderful. He is wonderful. And aren't you glad he's our Savior? Aren't you glad he's your Savior? He's such a wonderful Savior. He knows when to speak. And he knows when to be silent. As he was that day with Martha, with Mary. We have the waiting Christ. the worship of Christ, the wonderful Christ. Notice also the wounded Christ. I say wounded Christ because when he saw Mary weeping and the Jews, we are told that he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. This is quite something. Because the Lord had gone there to the tomb of Lazarus to raise Lazarus from the dead. He knew that that's what he was going to do. He knew that's what he was going to do when he told the disciples, "Our friend Lazarus sleepeth." He knew that. He knew Lazarus was dead. He knew that he would raise him from the dead. And yet, when he saw Mary weeping and the Jews also weeping, we're told that he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. You think of the Savior standing there, and there's Mary standing in front of him weeping. And all the Jews around her weeping. It's as if the Savior is standing there in the valley of tears. There's tears being shed all around him. And we see how deeply that affected Christ. When he saw her weeping and the Jews weeping, he groaned. So it was the sight of those in tears that affected him. This way, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. It wounded him in spirit. It wounded him in heart to see such sorrow. See, this is who Christ is. This is who he is. He's not hard-hearted. He's not cold of heart. He has a tender heart. He has a compassionate heart. He has a sensitive heart. When he saw Mary weeping and the Jews weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Those words, "was troubled," may be rendered, "he troubled himself." He troubled himself. In other words, he entered into their sorrow. He entered into the sorrow of Mary and Martha. He troubled himself. Hebrews 4, verse 15, the verse we've quoted often. The Lord Jesus is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That word "touched" means to be touched within. To be touched within. The Savior was touched within, and he felt with Mary. As the word also means, he felt with her. In other words, Mary's tears were his tears. Mary's sorrow was his sorrow. Mary's broken heart was his broken heart. He didn't stand aloof. He didn't stand apart from Mary. He stood with Mary. He felt. The Jews with her who had come to mourn with her could not possibly feel exactly how Mary felt. They did their best, no doubt, to comfort her. But they couldn't enter into the feeling of her heart. Christ. And Christ did. He knew exactly how she felt. And he felt the same way. He was troubled. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Isaiah 63 verse 9. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. In all their affliction, he was afflicted. Even though the Savior knew that he would raise Lazarus from the dead, yet he willingly entered into that valley of tears and troubled himself and felt exactly as Mary felt. Thinking that there over the week ago, and some of us were at the funeral. And Mrs. McAnally. And we saw Sammy sitting up at the front there. People one after another going up to him and embracing him, putting their arm around him, shaking him by the hand and offering him their condolences. And I just thought he was a lonely figure sitting there. And his friends did their best to bring him comfort. But there was only one who knew how he felt in here. And that was Sammy's Savior. And as he sat there at the end of that pew, do you know something? Christ sat there with him. The Lord sat with him. And it's as if the Lord was saying to Sammy, I know how you feel. And I feel your sorrow too. Because I'm touched with feelings of your infirmities. The waiting Christ, the worship Christ, the wonderful Christ, the wounded Christ, and then the weeping Christ. The Lord therefore saw her weeping, the Jews also weeping which came with her. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have you led him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. There's the weeping Christ. Upon being told where Lazarus was led, we read then that Jesus wept. And what a sight was that. There standing at the grave of Lazarus was none other than the Almighty God. The Almighty. And yet here we read, the Almighty wept. He is Almighty God. He is also man. And the Savior wept as men weep. As we read in Romans 12 and verse 15. He wept with them that weep. We'll take up that story this evening. There's so much here. There's so much here of Christ. We don't want to miss it. Indeed, what a wonderful Savior we have. When we see how he comforted, sympathized, helped Mary, wiped away her tears, understood how she felt. Even though Mary had said something hurtful to him, he let it pass. Because he knew there was a time to be silent. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Oh dear Lord, we bow humbly before thee in the light of thy word. What a wonderful Savior we have. O Lord, we thank thee for showing us how thou didst deal with Mary, how thou didst comfort her, how, Lord, thou didst identify with her in her sorrow and in her sobbing. We thank thee, Lord, that thou art one who understands always how we feel. We thank thee for who thou art, our great high priest, touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Lord, bless thy word to our hearts today. And we ask, O Lord, that thou would meet with us around the table. And for any, Lord, who are not able to stay, I pray thou will grant them traveling mercy and thy blessing upon them. Lord, abide with us now. Savior's name we pray. Amen.